Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our 3-day core challenge is open now for you to join in. Sign up and you'll get direct access to daily core-focused classes.
Yes, and they're both Pilates and yoga, and they're really short, literally less than 10 minutes.
Exactly. So if you think you don't have time to work out, think you're again. You do, because these are online, on demand. You can do them from the comfort of wherever you are, whenever you want. So come and join us for our 3-day core challenge. Head over to themerrymakersisters.com/core-challenge and sign up. Episode 274 on the Get Merry podcast, and we're so excited because about three episodes ago, we talked about money, and everyone loved it. So we wanted to talk about money again because money is one of our favorite subjects, and so here we are talking about money.
And I want to tell you, the inspiration behind this podcast was a very expensive strawberry tart that Damiano actually got on the weekend. It was $8.90, or maybe it was $9.90.
Ouch.
And oh my gosh, it was the most beautiful looking tart. And I tell you what, it was pretty darn yum. I did have a bite. I was like, man, I got to try this $9.90 tart. But
my guys, this is not a small tart. I mean, a big tart.
It was just a small tart. And the price tag wasn't on the little, what do you call it, counter.
I hate that.
Yeah, it wasn't there. So he bought with his belly and his eyes. And
thinking that probably under $6.
Yeah, that's what he thought. We had this discussion after, obviously. But anyway, the lady was like $9. And I could feel it in him. He was like, he didn't really want to buy it anymore. He was like, you know, I really wanted that tart, but not anymore.
Not at that price.
Yeah, but you kind of feel like you've done the, you know, you've asked.
You're at the counter.
Yeah, you've got your card out. You just got to purchase it. You got to purchase it.
Got a tap.
And then you get your tart and you're just angry. And you eat.
Resentful.
Yes, you don't really even want to eat the tart. Mm. You hate the tart. And you're like, I don't want to eat this. I'm just angry. And then you think of these thoughts, you start talking to the people about how much of a ripoff it is, then you eat the tart and you don't even enjoy it. So
yeah, like it was pretty yum, but it wasn't $9 worth of
the
tart.
Yeah, hell no. It's like I could have gone down to the bakery down the road that might not be as cool or new or as hip, or
I could have got two donuts, giant delicious donuts for the price of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, but three, I think.
No, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, a lot. A million donuts. but this, where is this going? It's going to the idea
this
that
is the first lesson.
Yeah, the first lesson
of this episode.
That we can change our minds, because I have been in this position. You have been in this position where you go up and you want to buy something and you didn't know how much it costs, but you just pay for it anyway, and then you get angry later.
Because you feel a little embarrassed and a little ashamed. That's the feeling.
This is our message. It's time to not feel ashamed.
This is our message. Your money is your money, and you get to do what you want with it.
Yes.
And just because you're at the front of the line buying the thing doesn't mean you have to tap the card. You can just say, oh, no, thank you. I've changed my mind. Here's another example. Have you ever been at the shops and you think you're walking around and maybe you see a sign, and it's probably a deceiving sign, and it says like 20% off this brand.
Yes.
And then underneath is like super small writing that you probably missed. But because you were just excited about buying the thing that you wanted to buy and you saw it's on sale. So you go up to the counter and then they say, that's $99, which is full price, not on sale. And you go, oh, but that sign over there says this. And then they just say to you, oh, no, that's just cushions today. Like that.
You're just like, you know that? Like we're marketers, okay? Like we know how to market. Just be freaking honest.
Yeah.
Just instead of making it fine print, make it big print.
Yes.
I'm so over that. Okay, today's 2020. Like, if you're a marketer, please just disclose the truth.
Honest.
Be honest. Be real. If this is a membership, we have a membership, we clearly state this is a membership. Like,
mind you, some people still don't read the big fat writing that says choose your membership option, monthly or annual.
That's frustrating. Yeah. We're very obvious with that. And we give email warnings too. Yes. Like, there's no, you can't miss it.
We don't want to do anything. We don't want you to buy anything that you don't want to buy.
I don't want to force anyone. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so that strawberry tart, it was very yum, but yeah.
Mm. I'm going to give you another example of when to speak up. So these are just a few examples. So lesson number one was you don't have to buy the thing if it's not in your price range anymore. You thought it was going to be a certain price and it wasn't, it is now time and we're giving you permission to say, oh, actually, I don't want that anymore.
Yes, I've changed my mind. And, you know, you're either one of the people who can easily do that and you're listening to this being like, what the hell?
Okay, my boyfriend.
Why are you talking about this? Yes, Joel's very good at it. Or you suck at it, like me and you.
Yes.
I suck at this because, yeah, there might be shame, there might be embarrassment, mm-hmm. but it's like, oh, that's such BS from our past. Uh-huh. Let's let go of that. Let's not be ashamed. Mm-hmm. And let's know that actually it doesn't reflect anything of you. You just are money savvy. Yeah. I'm very conscious of where every dollar of mine goes.
Me too. You're just smart.
And it's because you've worked hard for your money. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you don't want to be ripped off. And if you think that strawberry tart is a ripoff, then it is.
Exactly.
It's to someone else. With different values, it might be well worth every cent. But to you or whatever it is, it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like, you know, same with a coffee. Like someone might buy the $6 coffee and be like, this is the best $6 I've spent. Someone else would be like, why would I ever do that? I'm going to make my own at home and save a bunch of money. Like different people, different values. Mm-hmm. We can't compare with each other.
Yeah, it's all up to you. Okay, so my example was I went to the dentist the other day, and the only reason I went to this dentist was because they were offering a free clean when they were, like, covering the gap because I have health insurance extras. They were covering the gap, right? So it was going to be free for me the first time that I went.
Amazing.
And I was like, well, that's a really good deal. I'm definitely going to change dentists. Thank you. So I went in and I got my clean and I got my checkup. Very cheeky. Oh, we'll just do some quick x-rays as well. Click, click. Give me all the x-rays. Okay, thanks. I didn't need them. And then I walk out and I'm going to pay the receptionist. I didn't think I needed to pay, remember? And she just said, that's $99. And I stumbled for a moment and I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe I just got it wrong. Maybe I read it wrong. Maybe Joel told me wrong because Joel, my boyfriend,
Joel's fault.
Very savvy, finding discounted everything, told me about it. So I tapped my card and I walked on out. I messaged Joel and I said, it cost me $99. He's furious. He's like, what? He's like, no, you've got it wrong. This is wrong. So he's gone and called up for me. And just confirmed, should she have paid? And they're like, oh, no, we got it wrong. Send her back in and we'll refund her. My bad for not speaking up.
I know, but it's because you were like, oh, I must be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask. I'll feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's time to just get over it. And it's because money comes with such attachments and, like, you know, stuff. Like, money is a big topic that we are scared to talk about.
Mm. Just so you know, guys, I got my $99 back.
Boom. I
was so happy about it. I bought a new dog collar. Has a bow tie.
Oh my god, you guys. She's obsessed.
With a matching leash.
He's so cute. Okay, well, you're gonna have to share a photo on Instagram of the bow tie and the leash now. He's so cute, so naughty. But yes, time to not be ashamed about it, and time to ask for what we believe we deserve. Mm-hmm. So we also, like, don't get angry and don't get frustrated. Like, go through that one moment of uneasiness.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, this feels awkward, but I'm going to ask because, like, I can, to save hours, maybe days of, like, stewing over something or being angry and resentful or feeling ripped off. Like, that's a really bad feeling. When you feel ripped off, it's a bad feeling.
Okay, I've got another question, though, for you and how to tackle it, because I think that this is a really common thing that can happen. So you feel ripped off, like maybe you've been overcharged for something, you're trying to explain yourself, but the person on the other end doesn't agree.
Oh, yeah.
But you know you're right. How can we keep our cool? Like, how can we not get so angry about it or try and be that? You know how the customer's always right? I hate this. I actually hate that kind of saying because I think sometimes customers can take it, like, too far and get really stroppy and angry at the other person.
Well, they're rude.
Yeah. I think that it is – usually it's obviously a misunderstanding.
Well, I think – and – it shouldn't be the customer is always right. It just should be that you treat the customer with fairness and, you know.
Yeah, respect.
Respect.
But then I also,
but then also back to the back shop.
To the shopkeeper.
Or whoever
as well.
It is.
Because I think this is where it can be a little, there's a line where it's like you want to get your point across, but sometimes it can come across in an angry or frustrated way and then it offends them or it upsets them.
Yeah.
And I remember working in, you know, sandwich shops and being a food and beverage team leader and all these kinds of things. And yeah, I got some really mean people. Like
so many mean people.
That were angry about things, that thought they'd been ripped off, and they were really awful to me when it wasn't really my fault. So I want to kind of tackle this subject of, like, how can we approach that? Like, how can we communicate that without feeling like emotional about it?
Well, we need to not take it personally. That's number one. Don't take things personally. So in both the side of the purchaser and the seller or the on-seller, maybe it's not your business.
Yeah.
It's a different story when it's your business again. Yeah. That's a whole another level. But how someone treats a barista or a waitress or a waiter, a worker, says so much about the person. Mm-hmm. I actually just read, like, one of the old quotes. It's like, you know, your money doesn't impress me. Your whatever achievements doesn't impress me. How you treat people impresses me.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we all check in with ourselves. Because I'm saying, like, yeah, sometimes I'm probably maybe not the most friendliest. Like, maybe I don't think I'm rude, but maybe I'm having a bad day and I might not buy something with a smile.
Yes.
I would say it's, like, very few, like 1%. Like, so I'm actually really nice.
Day 2 of your period.
Yeah. Yes. That day 2. Oh, my God. No, actually, it's probably, like, the day before my period. Your period. It's like, okay, something's wrong with that girl.
Don't let her out of the house.
No. No, we also can't use periods and emotions because we can't use that because then other people start – men start using that. Have you got your period? It's like, it's none of your business, actually. Like, only we are allowed to do that. Duh. But no, it's true. Like, how we treat the people who we perceive as, I'm going to say, like, you know, they're the people you.
They're serving you.
Yeah, serving you. There we go. Service. They're like our favorite people. Treat them with respect. That barista is your favorite person.
Especially when they make your coffee every morning.
And I'm so sick of hearing stories where hospitality staff are treated with disrespect.
Me too.
And it makes me really angry at human beings. Mm-hmm. Because we all are the same. No matter what history, no matter where we've come from, we need to treat each other with respect. Mm. And, I mean, I think about this as well. Like, okay, we live on the Gold Coast. There's, like, varying people on the Gold Coast. Like, you'll see people dressed in, like, epic brands, like, beautiful cars. Mm. Like, you know, like, the shiny things of the world, materialism.
Yeah. Like Corvettes driving up and down the
streets. Yeah, you see, like, as someone who I'm very reflective and I observe life around me, I've seen that. And then I see, you know, the people who are just like walking on the streets and maybe they've had a, like, you can just tell they've had a journey with life and maybe they're not feeling great at the moment. Yeah. They're going through stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need to be more understanding and compassionate and, like, realize that we are all one and to treat everyone with respect. So it's like, if you're going to say hello to someone, say hello to all
everyone.
People.
Yeah, so true.
Like,
so that's a really good way of, I guess, approaching a situation.
That was a different topic.
Where you are frustrated with someone or something that's happened to you, where you feel ripped off. Because when you get ripped off, you can get angry.
Yeah,
and you can feel frustrated and you can feel annoyed.
So it's like going in with kindness.
And you can feel unlistened to. Yeah. You're not listening to me. Like, this is what I said.
So maybe it's like going in with, like, patience.
Mm. Big one.
Kindness and realizing that, okay, say you're buying something, you feel ripped off. Knowing that it's actually not their fault.
Yeah.
They've just been told something or something's not communicated.
Yeah. I'm going to give you an example of something
that's super annoying. I love how you have examples.
Annoying. And I think we didn't approach this the best way.
Who?
But also it was really annoying. Okay. And also it was kind of your fault, so.
My fault.
So we bought you those shoes with the platforms. Oh. And they were the white shoes.
No, this
was
totally my fault.
Yeah. But I'm saying I feel like there was like some, like we got really frustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't like the platform shoes, but you'd already thrown away the box. So we tried to take them back and swap them for another pair of shoes. Same brand, just not platform, like little sneakers. And we had almost got you the new shoes, but then the platform ones didn't fit in the damn box.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
It was super annoying. And then the shopkeepers or the shop tellers or whatever you call them, shop assistants, they were like, oh, we can't do this because the shoes don't fit in the box. I was so annoyed.
See, that's a really, I think that
I'm never shopping there again either. No, and so that's
I never have. So they definitely were rude and not very compassionate. We were really frustrated. We had the receipt. We didn't have the box.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was really frustrating.
Yeah. We were actually pretty kind.
Yeah, we were very kind.
They were actually kind of rude to us.
Yeah, they were extremely rude. And I think this is what happens with businesses when maybe they get too big. Yeah. So, like, say if that was just, like, a local store, like, back in the day, like, someone's shoe shop.
Yes.
They would have been able – the boss would have come out, oh, okay, I've seen that you have not worn these shoes. They're brand new.
Yeah, I actually remember you from last week.
Yeah, let's fix – like, I want to fix this for you because – we would have come back and bought some more shoes. If they treated us with fairness, I would have 100% gone back.
You were looking for shoes just the other day. Didn't go past that shop, saw some you liked, but knew we don't shop there anymore because of that experience. So I think this is a business lesson as well. When there is – this is actually such a great way to look at it. When there is an issue where someone's coming to you with an issue and they're feeling like the ripped off ones or they want a refund or they have this problem – this is an opportunity for you to create a lifelong customer.
Mm.
This is an opportunity for you to be like, okay, maybe you're going to lose a little bit in this time. You're going to maybe refund them this time. But know that in turn, by treating this person with respect and understanding, that probably they're going to tell someone else about you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be way more likely to speak well of you,
mm-hmm.
which we all know word of mouth is the best kind of marketing.
Very true. You cannot
go past word of mouth.
And then word of mouth, the opposite, is the most damaging. Like, you know, someone talking about a bad experience and they say that people are more likely to talk about the bad experiences compared to the good ones.
Because it's so much more interesting.
Yeah, and you're just angry and you need to talk about it. But it's so important as a business owner and, as a worker as well. Like, if you feel like you can't question that as a casual worker – it's like, no, like, do question your boss. Like, raise it. Because I think I would appreciate that as a boss. Oh, like, that customer's really angry. Mm. Like, yeah, you're right in coming to me because I want to make sure I fix this. Not to go by the rules.
Yeah.
Come to me. Go by
the process.
Yeah. See, oh, this is another one. At the yoga studio we worked at, we went by a rule.
That's so true.
And we said no to letting a customer come in and practice because
that was the new rule.
That was the new rule. If you don't have your membership up and running, if you don't have any money, no, you can't come. Actually, we probably would have been a bit more lenient before. We would have let them in and wrote a note. This membership isn't on. But there was a new rule, like literally the day before.
Yeah.
Next minute, she's complaining, the customer, and we're getting in trouble. And we're like, hang on a minute. You told us yesterday to not do this.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a big thing. As a manager, as a boss, it's, like, important to be, like, to give your staff empowerment to make decisions.
Yes.
Because before I would have let her come in and practice. Yeah. But since, like, this stern rule, and it was, like, absolutely no circumstances anyone comes in. So, like, that's a big lesson.
It is a big lesson. And, great business lesson. It's, like, there's always circumstances where the process needs to be changed. So don't be attached to the process. I think that's really interesting. Okay, let's talk more about like fairness with money. One thing that I want you to all make sure, if you've got a mortgage, make sure you call your bank this week because especially here in Australia, interest rates just dropped. If you are at a 4 or 3%, you should be at 2 point something.
Please call.
So let's make sure we call the bank and request that. It is fair. They need to be passing on the interest rate cut. And if they're not, that's not fair. That's just a little thing. That-
no, I think it's really important because as someone – okay, so we have
– not a little thing. It's a big thing.
Yeah, it's a massive
thing. That's going to save you a lot of money.
Yeah, over the years it will save you a lot of money. And it's something to get involved with more. I mean, we've had an investment property for how many years now?
Eight, seven?
Gee. So we've had this house and, you know, at the start it was just like, just pay it off. Like, don't, like, I don't want to know about it. Mm-hmm. Like, long story with the house. But anyway, we had this property which felt like it was more trouble than worth. Yeah. We were like, I don't even want it.
We would always like have like little imaginations. Like, imagine if we didn't have this investment. Imagine how much money we would have in our banks.
So funny. But, you know, a blessing in disguise because now we are at a point where it's, like, thriving.
Yeah, well, the it's become a blessing. The house has gone up in value and we are more understanding of what it means to have assets and also the property market in general. Like we're more intrigued by it. We're more interested by it.
Well, I think, you know, a great piece of advice at a business conference we went to was don't have all your eggs in one basket. Mm. And that was like more in terms of like traffic and on your website. Mm. But actually it's good advice in business and money in general. If you are in a position where you can, you know, invest in something, do invest in your future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always a risk in investment.
Always.
But there's also a risk in not investing if you have the capability to. And it's a great thing to strive for, especially as a woman. We're speaking mostly to women. I don't know if any men listen to this. I'd be interested to know.
Hi,
guys. But hi, women. You're amazing. You're all amazing. But it's pretty cool that we have this investment property ourselves. Mm-hmm. And who knows what it's going to turn into if we're going to invest in more property. I'm not sure. It's really fun to learn about.
We definitely have been talking about it more and just seeing where we're at. Obviously, when you run your own business, it like gets a little bit more difficult.
Yes.
When you're talking to the banks and things.
They're like, you don't make any money.
They're like, it starts and ends with you? Hell no.
No money for you.
So we were actually really lucky in that the loan for this one was when we had government jobs. Yes. If you've got a government job, well, you'll be getting as much money as you like from the banks. So when you run your own business, it's a little bit different. But there's definitely ways to do it and there's ways that you can make it happen. And so we're kind of looking at, oh, well, is that what we want to invest in or do we want to invest in something different? So it's actually a really exciting time, I think, because we're at this point where we can invest. So it's kind of more like, what do we want to invest
in? And I think, you know, for people, like for us, as we mentioned in that podcast episode, materialism and financial independence. I was like, what do we call it? Like we spoke about how like we're not really big shoppers and like buyers of stuff. Like we don't spend a lot of money on stuff and clothes and all that stuff, which really adds up. Mm-hmm. But I feel like because we don't buy a lot of that stuff, we can invest in our futures even more.
Yeah.
Like it just is amazing how much money you can save when you are less fixated on having the newest and best of whatever it is.
Yeah, just an example for you on like the money that you can save when you don't buy things. So a year ago when we were paying off this loan, our interest rate, the interest we were paying per month was like $1,100 of like an $1,800 repayment, right? $1,100 of it was interest. $1,100 was going straight back to the bank. We were only paying off $700 and a bit of the principal.
That sucks.
So when you have a home loan, there's the option, like there's principal and there's interest. You can pay both or you can just pay interest. We want to pay off the loan and we want to pay the interest. Yeah. If you can, then you can, right? Yeah,
then do
if
it.
If you can't, then okay, whatever. People have different strategies as to what they do with their loans. We pay P&I. Now, because we've been able to save and we use an offset account, which what happens when you have an offset account is you put money into the offset and it offsets your loan. So basically when the bank sees it, all of that extra money that's sitting in your offset minuses more from the loan, which therefore there's less interest to pay on the end. Mm-hmm, so say you have like $100,000 loan and you have $20,000 in your offset, then you're only paying interest on the $80,000. Yep. Now, our interest is at $595.
Holy moly, that's amazing.
So we've over halved our interest rate because of our interest payments, because of the amount of money we're saving.
That's so epic. And
so imagine that over a 30-year loan, $500 a month.
That's a lot.
500 times 12 times 30.
What is it? I was like, do you know this number off the top of your head? Quick, figure it out. I think what I'm really excited about this is that we were two people who were not interested in this.
$180,000.
Whoa, that's a lot. Yeah. So this is the thing. If you are feeling like you know nothing about this or you're so far away but you kind of are intrigued, if you want to invest in something, anything, whatever it is, know that you can learn. Mm. Know that it doesn't have to be a struggle. It can be an enjoyable thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know everything overnight. Learn slowly. Learn in a fun way. Mm-hmm. Learn together with someone.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky we can do this together, mm-hmm. Which is really cool and empowering, again, mm-hmm. as two sisters, two women doing this.
Yes.
And, like, this is, like, one of our big goals, I feel, for the future, to empower women mm-hmm. to get more knowledge on money and finances.
To be financially independent.
Yes.
So even if you do have a partner, you still are financially independent, because then you set yourself up for your future. And it means, you know, you've kind of like got that safety net for yourself.
Yes. And like, who knows what could happen? Like, we have to like have that knowledge. We can't always rely on someone. Mm. We don't like we can, but also like have a backup plan and talk to them about it. Like feel like you can talk about it openly because we never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. We never know what's behind around the corner.
Yeah.
And I mean, for women especially, we are mostly the ones that take the time off for the kids. Mm-hmm. So we have to think about that. Like, let's be smart here. Let's like learn from the generations that have gone through pain with this, who ended up being single mums or like in certain situations, and they had not been working for 10, 15 years. They had not been further developing, and then it's like, oh crap.
Yeah.
I'm in a really bad situation.
Yeah.
And you know, you can come out of a situation like that. We're strong. We can get support. Women are so resilient. Mm. But let's also be smart now and learn and know that, you know, the future is not, we don't know the future. So we can't always be like, oh, that won't happen to me. Mm-hmm. Let's like have that just in case that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
If something sadly goes wrong in this relationship, if whatever happens, it can be like a death, it can be a sickness, it can be a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could fall out of love.
Yeah.
Like
possible.
Yeah. So it's like, be smart and don't be afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, and don't stick your head in the sand. Like, be, like, prepared to learn new things, because everything is learnable. Like,
yes.
You can learn anything.
And everything is exciting. And, I mean, like, I feel really excited about this.
Yeah, and just, like, thinking about, I'd never done that math before, but, wow, that's a lot of money that we're saving just from having that amount of money in the bank. So, very, very cool. We'll keep you posted on, like, that side of things and what we decide to do. And then you start thinking about where you want to invest in, or where you want to put your money, and how you want to see your finances grow.
And like have a savings plan.
Mm.
And you don't have to know where you want to invest it. You don't have to know what you're saving for, but like work out your budget. Okay. So they say, what was it in that really famous book, Barefoot Investors?
Barefoot Investor.
It's like, you know, you have your income, you split it into like 50, 30, 20, I think.
Well, that only equals
100%.
Oh, that equals 100%. I was like, well, that's wrong, Emma.
But I think
I think I did 60, 20, 10.
Well, and, you know, make it work for you. So it's like you have
it doesn't work. 60, 20, 20. And just 10% goes somewhere. I'm not sure where.
In coffee. So like, okay, you have your necessities, right? Your living expenses.
And that's your 60%.
Yeah, or whatever it is you decide to be. And then you have your savings. Mm-hmm. And then you have, what's the other one? Splurge. It's like your spendings on, like, it could be holidays.
Yeah, your splurge is usually something, like, that's kind of a big thing that you want to save up for, like a holiday, whereas your savings is, like, that buffer, like, that safety.
Is that also your investment as well? Like, you save for the investment, or is that, like, additional?
It's like different Yeah, like in the book he talks about it. The book is Barefoot Investor by Scott Pape. If you want to read it, it's very good. It's very easy to read and quite, again, empowering. Like you're just like, oh, this makes everything so easy. So it was like 60% is on your like daily expenses. That includes your rent or your mortgage or whatever. If you've got a house, if you don't have a house yet, then yeah, I think the savings is like you're saving for something.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like you're saving for your house or you're saving for your next investment, and your splurge is like your savings for your holiday.
Or like whatever you like to buy. Yeah. Your shopping.
And also, yeah, the savings in that account is also if something unexpected happens.
Yeah.
So say you have like, I don't know, something happens at your house, like a pipe bursts and it's like $2,000 to fix.
Or like you get sick and you can't work.
Exactly.
I like it's so important that we think about this stuff.
And so we randomly, when we were at a conference, a business conference, because when you own your own business, again, you know, it starts and ends with us. There's no wage that's coming in every 2 weeks that we can depend on. Like we've obviously created an extremely stable business now, which is amazing, and we love doing what we do, but also it starts and ends with us. So if something happens to one of us,
mm-hmm.
like it's bad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to make sure we have enough buffer to support that. Yeah. So when we were at James Shramko's conference, it was like literally a sentence that he just like, what, it wasn't an important sentence to him.
I know.
But when he said it, we were like, whoa.
It was important. And it's been life-changing for us to hear, you know, have an annual salary saved as a buffer. Yeah. And so many financial advisors will say this, like have a buffer, have a buffer.
Yeah.
Have that rainy day account.
But
like,
then some also people will you'll also hear advice
yeah,
like
true.
The money in the bank is the worst place for it. But that depends on your situation.
I 100% disagree with that. Yeah, me too.
Because sometimes you need your money very easily accessible. If it's all caught up in whatever you're investing in, like you it takes you a little while to get it, right? Like you can get it, but it might take you a month.
Exactly. And so what if you need it today? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think you know, we are being smart. We're thinking of like, well, this situation could happen, but this situation could happen. Like we take risks, but we take well thought out risks. Like I'm not gonna, like some people will be like more like, boom, risk. I can live on the edge.
Yeah.
What having this savings has done for us has allowed us to breathe. It's allowed us to relax.
Yeah.
And you know, that is worth it. And I don't mind if that means like from an investing position, we are not as far as in front. I absolutely don't mind because how I feel now is more important.
Agree.
And, you know, I have that comfort, that little, even if it's false comfort, because like really, we never know. There could be a comet that flies into the earth tomorrow.
Like, exactly.
Nothing is actually guaranteed, guys. Yeah. Nothing's guaranteed. So it's like, but it allows us to breathe and to live in a more free way, which is everything.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, this topic is so much fun. So one other thing I want to talk about, and let's go back to the fairness thing, because I think like asking for refunds, like this is a really like hard thing to do as well. Like we need to be fair about it.
Yeah.
Only when the refund is valid, right? So it's not like, like I'm pretty sure one time we had this like previous customer that I'm pretty sure what they did was like they looked at everything they bought like from an online program perspective in the past 3 years and just like blasted out emails to every single person and saw how many refunds they could get.
Yeah.
That was what I felt. Please don't do that. That's really awful.
No, I think especially online to small businesses. Mm. I mean, this customer was really mean to us actually and was threatening us, like threatening to take us to whatever. And
over a $60 thing.
A $60 product that she had used that we then went on to like be like, okay, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. We went above and beyond to make it better. She actually had no reason for the refund.
No.
It was a product from like 3 years ago.
It was literally like the only reason we refunded her was because I was like, please get out of my inbox.
Please go away. And it was worth it. That was that was paying for her to go away. Yeah. And I mean, but it's scary though, because when you're a business owner, you feel that and you get this. And you hope that you don't attract customers like that, because there are people
we're
who
so lucky.
We've had a few cases. We've had a few,
but very rare. But asking for valid refunds, I think that sometimes this can feel very nerve-wracking. It can be quite awkward. Embarrassing, awkward, whatever feeling you're feeling. I get it. I felt them all. Oh, my God, asking for a refund. You know what was the worst? When, like your dad or something would be like, go up to the counter and take this back. I don't want to. Like, I don't want to do that, Dad. Like,
I know. I remember that.
Or, like, they got the order wrong or something. Go take that back because that order is wrong. I don't want to.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it was so hard. But, like, Dad would always make us do it, and it was always good. And we learned a lot from it. I think, you know, like, complaining about a service or a product that is not up to scratch.
Yeah.
I mean, I complained about Grilled the other night.
Yeah.
And I got free burgers.
I complained about Grilled, I think, about 2 years ago. I got a $50 voucher.
Yeah. And it was like I didn't make it up. Like, this is what I ordered. Two burgers, and with, like, you know, no red onion, no mayonnaise, no this, like a few ingredient changes. It was ordered online, so it was an easy thing. Like,
you tapped everything. I tapped.
Yeah. It asks me, what do you not want?
Yeah, I know. Like, I actually love that online ordering
system. Yeah, I love that online ordering system too, because I'm like, yes, I hate red onion. I don't like the mayonnaise. You put way too much on.
Yeah.
So I asked for both burgers. There were changes on both.
Yeah.
In a system. So it printed out on the receipt.
Yeah.
Pretty good, right?
Uh-huh.
So it was human error.
Yes.
I got my burgers, got them home. My burger was actually cold. Like, you know, the patty, what do you call it? Not the patty, the bun. It was like frozen still.
Oh, God.
It was awful. It was cold. It had so much mayonnaise on it, so much mustard, two things I said, none of that. It had red onion on it.
Oh, no.
The other one had red onion on it. We both wanted no red onion. And it was like, what has gone on with this order? And I was really angry because I was really looking forward to my burger.
$40 dinner.
Yeah, and we got chips. So it was like $50. Mm. I love Grilled so much. When it's good, not when it's bad. But, you know, like, then they also send the email the next day. We'd love your feedback. I was like, well, I'm going to tell you my feedback. Yeah. It was crap.
So you told them your feedback online, and then they sent you two free burgers?
Then they said an email from an actual person.
Whoa.
Amazing, right? This is the good service. Grilled is such good service.
Yeah.
We learn a lot in business from Grilled.
Yeah.
They sent an email from a person, not like an automatic thing. We're so sorry about this, Emma. We'd love you to come back, and we're going to shout you two burgers and chips.
Oh, my God.
And I was so excited. Yeah.
I didn't know that you gave the feedback online.
Yeah, like, you know, they send that automatic thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about your Grilled experience. Yeah. And, you know,
like, well, maybe, I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened, and it sucked.
Yeah.
And so I complained, and then I got two free burgers, and they were delicious. And, you know, every single experience, because, I mean, I get Grilled like once a week after Pilates. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not cooking.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't want to go out. Like, yeah. I just want Grilled.
We're so big fans of Grilled.
Yeah, we always have been since they came into Australia. Mm. Wait, I think they started in Australia.
Since they came to Canberra.
Guys, if you're not from Australia, Grilled is like a burger company. Yeah. You should probably
It's like a healthy burger. Well, burger company.
They're like more local, I think. And like more,
the grass-fed beef.
Yeah, and like we get the paleo bun.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
But then we get the deep-fried sweet potato chips. Like, so, yeah. I love those chips.
So when I was at Grilled, what happened with mine is I was with Joel and we were going to the movies after. So we were on a little, like, not a tight time frame, but we had 45 minutes, right?
It's fast food.
It's very fast.
You'll be fine. You could literally get there, wait 15 minutes, and you'll get your burger.
But not if they forget your burger.
Oopsie.
So they brought Joel's burger out. I'm waiting. Joel's finished his burger.
You're kidding.
And then I'm like, oh, like, is my burger coming? And they're like, oh, my God, we're so sorry. They forgot about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that was really bad. And then they gave us, like, they brought my burger out, and I was like, yum, it was actually really good. But then as we were leaving, they handed us the $50 gift voucher.
Oh, that's so nice.
And they were like, we're so sorry about that. And, like, that made it all better.
Yeah, of course it did. Well, like, you would have still been unhappy after if it had just
been left at
that. Exactly.
I would have gone back to Grilled anyway if they hadn't have, but
I know.
Because it's so damn yum. But they are one company, one business that really, really does well with complaints and refunds. I'll give you another example with a food thing. The other day we went to this cafe. It was in Burley. We were excited. We ordered 3 gluten-free meals. So it was poached eggs on toast.
Eggs on toast.
Gluten-free toast. That's it. That's what we wanted.
Very fancy.
It was also $56 for this 3 times poached eggs on gluten-free toast. Waiting. No one else is in the cafe. It's like a Wednesday, so it's like quiet. Like, I'm kind of confused. It's been half an hour. Like, you would think it would be a little bit quicker. You look up and you notice there's 3 plates sitting there on the kitchen thing waiting to be given out. You go up to the counter. Oh, I'm just wondering where my food is. Sit back down. You see her rush over, bring out the 3 gluten-free poached eggs on toast. Looks pretty mediocre, to be honest. It's like white bread. Poached eggs, looks no very butter. Bad, no butter, so dry.
And then I touch the toast.
Then you touch the cold stone toast.
And like, you know, gluten-free, so, like good gluten-free toast, oh my God, it's great.
We
but
love it.
Like mediocre gluten-free toast that has gone cold is like rocks. I was like, this, I'm not eating this, it's going to break my teeth.
Yeah.
And I just was like so annoyed because she's like, obviously, she made a mistake. She didn't, like, she didn't come out. And obviously, the chef, like, he could have run it out too.
Yeah,
like,
or some, dinged twice.
Yeah, like, ding a little louder.
Yeah.
And I was like, this toast is cold. So she came and got the plates. We'll make new ones. And I was like, stuff that. I'm not waiting another freaking half an hour because that's how long it took. Mm. I'm not waiting. I said, actually, we just prefer to get our money back. I sat down first, but then I changed. I just, like, was like, no, I'm not.
I said,
yeah, what did
we should get a refund.
And then I was like, that's it. Yeah, yeah, let's do it.
I was like, we should not eat here.
And she was like rude to me though. Yeah. She was like, oh, okay. Like, how dare I ask for a refund? And yeah, no, I should have asked for a refund because that was bad service.
So again,
and I didn't want to eat there anymore.
So again, there's another opportunity. Like if you have like an experience with a meal, like 2 examples of where the business does really well. In supporting the customer and being like, I'm so sorry, especially when they're in the wrong. Obviously, if they're not in the wrong, like, don't ask for a refund. Yeah. And then another example where they still gave us the refund, but it was done in not a very nice way. But you are actually entitled to, if your meal isn't as you've requested or what you've paid for, you can actually ask for a refund.
Yeah. I love how, like, this seems like such mediocre topic, but it's really important.
And it affects your, like, it can affect your life, as in it can affect your day.
And also the whole lifespan. Like, you know, if you feel empowered and, like, able and confident to ask for a refund when it's deserved, this is really good. Yeah. So start practicing. If you can't do this, if you kind of feel like you really suck at it and you kind of get walked over, just start practicing. Next time you feel ripped off or next time you're not happy with service, ask and be nice. You don't have to be rude. Like, we don't have to be nasty
and
about it.
And it doesn't even – it's not even that you ask for a refund. It could be like, oh, just so you know, like, this was wrong about what you gave me.
Yeah.
Because usually what will happen is, like, they want – like, well, if they're a good business, they want to try and resolve the issue.
Exactly.
And then, you know, you come up with a solution for the issue. But you could also just ask for a refund.
I want to also say, like, an example that we've done. So recently someone signed up for our 7-day trial. Oh, yeah. They sent an email saying, I want to cancel, and we missed it. Mm-hmm. So they paid for the first month. Mm-hmm. Then they emailed again, like, another month later. I did ask for this to be canceled, but I've been charged. I want to cancel it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, this is bad. We missed this email. It got lost in our system. So then what did we do? We cancelled it and we also gave her the refund from the last month.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just like listen to people and we're all about fairness. Mm-hmm. Like, we can also look up and be like, okay, well, you've done a class every day actually. Like, are you sure you didn't like it? But no, we could see that she hadn't done it and she was obviously like the email was there, just missed.
It just, it got, because the system that we used didn't pull it in.
Yeah.
And so didn't show us.
So we give her the refund. And, yeah, like, we're kind of like, oh, that sucks. We have to refund someone. We
and
lose money.
And also because we lose out. Like, this is an interesting thing.
Yeah, true.
You've never known this before. But with online businesses, usually whatever platform they're using for their finances, so example, PayPal or Stripe, they take a percent of every sale as the system to collect the money.
Yeah, right? Well, they need to make money.
Because they need to make money. But
They make so much money, though.
Yeah, they really do. But I will say I'm kind of disappointed at Stripe because now when we have to give a refund, they keep the first percent.
Do they?
But we still refund the full amount. Yeah. Oh. So the service fee that Stripe charges.
Ah.
Say, for example, someone pays us $300.
Yeah.
They take a 2%, 2% thing, yeah, whatever that is. Then that person who paid us $300 says, oh, sorry, I want a refund.
Yeah.
We pay them the $300 back. We don't get that surcharge that Stripe paid us back, even though we don't get that money, yeah, anymore. So well, we're paying to refund someone.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I guess also we're still using their service. So yeah, that's the thing. Like,
they didn't used to do that before, though.
Oh, this okay. So thing. It's new.
Yeah.
Well, they need to make money, I guess. Or they want to make money. Hungry businesses.
So much
they
money.
They make so much money.
They're already – So the percent of refunds that we give a very low percent of refunds.
Yeah.
Our refund rate is low as, which is amazing because my body is amazing. It's only by a human error that the refund needs to be made. Like no one – we've never really – I'm trying to think – that one customer that we talked about before who was just
I think there might have been like another one. Like I remember one, you know, some annual people might be like, actually, like I can't do the moves. Like there's been a few of them.
Yeah, yeah, there's been a few I remember.
Like I've tried it for a month.
But usually it's human error. Usually it's we missed the missed the email or it didn't get cancelled enough in time because like the email.
Or it's a system, like the system error.
So we're very, very, it's very lucky. So I think that Stripe should not have made that up. And I'll know a lot of all my business friends will agree with me on
of
this.
Of course. But yes, so really the whole purpose of this podcast is just to feel empowered with your money and even the little things and knowing that those little things add up to the big thing.
Well, knowing that when you practice with the little things then it helps with the big things. So as you feel more empowered with your money, like that ripples out. Like
yes.
Just because it's a $6 coffee or whatever it is, your coffee is cold and you ask for a new one or you ask for your money back because you don't have time for a coffee anymore.
Yeah.
You've ruined my whole morning. Thank you. Know that then that teaches you or you get stronger, better. It becomes easier for you to work out what's fair to you and you ask more for what you want.
And you feel more able to talk about money in general and to ask for the refund or like get it sorted. It's a topic, again, as we've spoken about many times, it's a taboo topic. Money is taboo. It feels awkward for many people.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to start talking about it.
Yeah.
It's time to be more open. It's time to also acknowledge that, hey, like, I don't know much about it and I want to learn more. And know that that's a really empowering place to be. You know, you might feel a bit out of it. I don't know nothing. Mm. Like, how could I do anything? How could I create anything? How could I invest? How could I do whatever? But you can.
Yeah, you can.
And it just starts with that first step. So, like, go buy a book. Listen to more money podcasts. Mm. Get inspired. Get empowered with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk to people too. Like, there's people out there. There's financial advisors. There's money experts. There's accountants. Mm. Like, talk to these people.
And talk to your friends.
Yes.
Like, make it a subject that you talk about.
Yeah. Like, how do you save money? Like, what's your budgeting like? Like, how much do you pay on rent? Mm. Like, and seek out the friends who are, like, money savvy.
Yeah, who seem like they are.
Yeah. Like, and then you never know. And I love this. I think we can come together and help each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't believe, like, if someone is going well with their money, like they want to share it. They're pretty open, I'm pretty sure. Like we're open about it. Like we've always been open about it.
I love talking about money. I think our next money episode should be about budgeting.
Oh, me too. I like this idea.
Like forecasting.
Well, we did want to give our forecasting thing. Yeah. So maybe that budgeting episode, we will have that form, that download ready for you.
Yay. Okay. Hope you have the best day ever. Now go and find fairness and ask for refunds when required and be empowered with your money and have fun with it.
Yeah, have fun with your money. Have fun with spending it. Have fun with saving it too.
Yeah, make saving a fun, exciting thing because it is.
Oh, it's very exciting.
Okay, bye.